Heartland, the way you view life truly matters. How we look at our lives makes a big impact on the direction for our lives. We even use such illustrations in our culture today to try to communicate that idea. For example, we will ask Brother Theron, if a glass is half full, or is it half empty? Well, obviously, the answer is that both are true. But how you see things in life, Heartland, will strongly dictate the direction we will go. This morning in our message, Jeremiah is dealing with a people who are looking at things in their lives in all the wrong ways. They think they're seeing life correctly when, in fact, everything they understand to be happening is the wrong way to look at life. It matters the way you look at life. In our lesson today, we're going to look at how we look at our lives, and then consider how we look at the way we look at life, rather, will dramatically impact the outcome and the relationship that you have with God. So open your Bibles to Jeremiah 44, and we're going to look at how we can look at life in the wrong way, which leads us into greater troubles. In Jeremiah 44, verses 1 through 14, Jeremiah in verse 1 tells us that God has sent a message through Jeremiah to the people of Judah who have left Jerusalem and are now residing in Egypt. Church, you may remember a few weeks ago that God told these people to stay in Judah and he would protect them from the Babylonians. However, in Jeremiah 43, the people rejected the word of the Lord and they moved to Egypt anyway, while taking the prophet of God with them. In Jeremiah 44, verses 2 through 6, the message from the Lord begins by telling the people that the reason the Lord brought judgment on Jerusalem and Judah was because of the people's wickedness. They continued in their evil practices, continued in their idolatry, and they worshiped other gods. Church, the Lord sent the prophets to tell the people to stop doing these horrible acts. But the people wouldn't listen or return from their evil ways. So now the people have moved to Egypt against the will of the Lord. So, Heartland, the Lord has an important question for the people through his prophet Jeremiah. Look at verse 7. He says, "Why do you commit this great evil against yourselves?" Think about that. This is an amazing question that God has for the people. Why are you destroying yourselves? Why are you harming yourselves? Church, if we saw a person hurting themselves, we would be inclined to ask the same questions. What are you doing? Why are you trying to hurt yourself? It just doesn't make any sense. Yet, the people fail to see, church, that their sins are hurting themselves. Now, church, please think about this. The people have witnessed the judgment for their sins back in Jerusalem and Judah before they got to Egypt. But rather than hearing God's message and seeing God's judgment and turning back to God, they now have moved on to Egypt, Brother Hayden, and they're continuing the same evil practices in Egypt. The Lord is asking the people why they are continuing to harm and destroy themselves with their sins. We've talked about this on occasion in our study of the book of Jeremiah before, but it bears repeating as God is making the point again to the people who are not listening. Sin only harms us. Sin only destroys us. Sin only brings future wrath and judgment from our God. Our sins, listen, our sins do not have a positive health yet. Our sins always have a negative and destructive outcome. But in Jeremiah 44:10, the people have shown no remorse. Church, they have not humbled themselves. They have not feared the Lord. They don't reverence God. They have not turned to seek the Lord's instructions. There has been no repentance, no reverence for the God of heaven at all. So rather than learning from the Lord, in Jeremiah 44, verses 11 through 14, they're going to experience the same judgment, Brother Scott, in Egypt. You got judged on in Judah and Israel, doing what you're doing now, and you won't stop. I find it interesting what people will do, and it seems almost crazy. Why do we hurt ourselves? But in Jeremiah 44, verses 15 through 30, now we will see how the people from Judah who are now living in Egypt respond to the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. Notice in verse 16, listen to what the people say. The people proclaim that they will not listen to the message that Jeremiah has proclaimed in the name of the Lord. Well, we know what the Lord told you, Jeremiah, but we don't care. But church, I want us to pay careful attention now to the reasoning given why they won't do it in verses 17 and 18. In verse 17, the people say that they are going to do whatever they want to do. We're going to continue to offer our sacrifices and incense to the Queen of Heaven, a false god, as our parents and ancestors did in the past. Church, notice how they are looking at their lives. At the end of verse 17, they say that when our families were doing this, then we had prosperity. We had plenty of food and saw no disaster. Then Hardland noticed their reasoning again in verse 18. They think that ever since we stopped offering sacrifices and incense to our God, false God, they lacked everything and had been experiencing war and famine. Church, you see that the people think that the reason for their problem is that they are not worshiping their gods, false gods. The way you view life, listen, matters. When we worshiped our gods, then things were going well. But when we stop worshiping our gods and start worshiping the true God, all we have experienced in life is emptiness and trouble. The people think that serving the Lord has caused all their problems, and what they need to do now is go back to the false worship and the false things of this world, and then everything is going to go back to normal. Church, Jeremiah tells the people that They have this all backwards. You are looking at things upside down. In verse 23, Jeremiah tells the people that all of these troubles have come on them. Listen, because they have given their lives to these false gods rather than the true and living God. The good life is not in disobedience to our God. But so often, Heartland, we think that this is not the case. Now that we're trying to serve the Lord, all of the sudden, the things have become more difficult. We can think that things were so much better and we were so much happier when we were not doing what the Lord told us to do. But, church, listen, this kind of thinking forgets the critical factor that happens when we sin. Jeremiah tells the people, you are experiencing the consequences of your sins. Your troubles are not because you have neglected to worship your false gods. Your troubles are that your sins are catching up to you. Your problems are that the consequences for our decisions are now impacting your lives. Church, listen. The consequences for our sins, listen, typically do not express themselves the next day or even the next week. This is why we are deceived into thinking that we're getting away with our sins, Brother Scott. Rather, the consequences for our sins more often takes years to catch up to us. Sins in the home and sins of the family take years until the fruits of those sins are observed. Listen, hidden sins can take years until they are finally revealed. The troubles for our sins do not typically land instantaneously, but takes years to build and develop. Then, the pain of our rejection of God's ways lands flat at our front door. But what we do not see is that the flood from our sins are finally catching up to us. We think that we were just happier when we were living in sin. The problem, church, for the people who are now living in Egypt is that all their sins and their consequences are finally catching up to them. But the people wrongly think that they were better off when they were ignoring the God of heaven. In Jeremiah 45, verses 1 through 5, Jeremiah now flips the coin to the other side. Church, we're going to look at the same message, but from a different direction. Jeremiah has a message from the Lord to Baruch. Church, you remember in Jeremiah 36, 20 through 26, that Baruch was the scribe who had written down all of God's words from Jeremiah to give to the king Jehoiakim. We are reminded of this work in Jeremiah 45, 1. But church, I want us to look at Jeremiah 45, 3, where the Lord quotes what Baruch has been saying. You'll notice that Baruch has been saying, "Woe is me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning, and I find no rest." Now, church, this is a very short chapter, And we're not provided any particular reason for Baruch's groaning. The only thing we are told is in Jeremiah 45:1 that this message came when he wrote the scroll for Jehoiakim, which the king ultimately cut up and threw it in the fire. However, we can piece together that Baruch has been faithfully serving the Lord, helping Jeremiah through his imprisonments and his persecutions, and spent a significant amount of time and effort writing this scroll containing the message for the Lord, or from the Lord, so that the king and the people would listen and turn back to the Lord. Has anything Baruch has done been successful in that effort to turn the people back? Absolutely not. It does not look like his efforts had any impact. Rather, the turning the hearts of the people back to the Lord, church, the king is so insolent and rebellious that he cuts up the word of the Lord and burns it. It appears that Baruch is weary and frustrated in all of the troubles he is enduring now. They experience more persecution and hardships for trying to do the will of God. So what is God's message to Baruch? We see there are three messages that God has for Baruch. First, God will destroy the nation of Judah for its wickedness in Jeremiah 45:3 or 45:4. Church, listen, God is always saying that no one is getting away with their sins. No one has to worry about justice and righteousness. Those things, Heartland, listen, are in God's hand. And he will ultimately judge the wickedness of people and nations. Second, in Jeremiah 45:5, do not seek great things for yourself only. Perhaps Baruch was discouraged that his work for the Lord had not changed the spiritual condition of the nation. Perhaps he felt like it was all a waste of his time. The people wouldn't listen. Maybe he thought he would be instrumental in changing the hearts of the people, and now it seems like to be that he's done it for nothing. Or maybe he had expectations for his life that were not met. Church, whether those expectations were physical or spiritual, Baruch is being told to stop pursuing great things for himself only. Third, in Jeremiah 45:5, God tells Baruch that God sees his efforts and he will be given his life as a reward. Church, because things did not go according to plan, listen, does not mean that God is not going to reward you for your work. In short, do not seek great things just for yourself in this life. Heartland, listen carefully. You seek God's things in your life, and then you let God reward you. Church, listen. These two chapters are placed together to teach us some really important messages about how we look at life. First, notice that in both chapters, we are seeing people arguing with God and complaining to God because things are not going to their life expectations. The people of Judah, who are now living in Egypt, are rejecting God's message because their life experiences are not meeting their life expectations. Baruch is upset and overwhelmed because his life experiences are not matching his life expectations. Heartland, listen, we can be disappointed by life because we think serving the Lord will carry with it certain comforts and certain outcomes. Baruch seems to think that he would be able to have some rest while serving the Lord. But right now, all he can see is pain, sorrow, groaning, and no rest. The people of Judah thought that turning from their idolatrous ways would immunize them from experiencing the consequences from their sinning all over all of those years. Church, listen, we can be so tempted to turn away from the Lord when life does not go according to plan. That's why you gotta be careful the way you view life and understand that it matters the way you view life. We can be tempted to turn away from the Lord when life is disappointing. We can turn away from the Lord because we were seeking great things for ourselves and those things did not work out. Worse, we can even blame God for our troubles rather than seeing our need to seek God's things. Church, listen, we must not base our faith on our life circumstances. I'm going to say that again. We must not base our faith on our life circumstances. We cannot base our beliefs on our experiences, but on God's revelation through the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. Learn to view life in the way that matters because we hear God, we trust God, and we obey God. You see that the people of Judah, who were now living in Egypt, were basing their beliefs on their experiences and not on God's revelation. They were not listening to the Word of God. They believed that they just needed to worship their gods, false gods, and life would be better. They didn't believe God's revelation that their troubles were because of their sins. Church, we can think that we just need to return to our God and things will go better. If we just had more money, if we were more career-driven, focused more on ourselves, focused more on our families, focused having more power or influence or whatever we think is going to make things better rather than seeking God's things. Heartland, the answer for all of life is to seek God's things, not great things for your life only. Listen, church, seek God's ways, not your ways. The way you view life matters. The problem is oftentimes that we want to see God's hand right now. I did something for God, and I don't see any immediate result. So then we give up. The people of Judah did not think serving the Lord was doing them any good. Baruch does not see what good his work for the Lord has done. Heartland, listen, we must be satisfied in our obedience and faithfulness to the Lord. Stay right there. Even when our present circumstances do not see positive results in our lives, be satisfied with obedience and faithfulness to God in the life of our Lord. Jesus' life, Jesus' faithfulness led him to the cross, not to comfort. Heartland, the way you view life matters. We must base our faith on God's revelation, the Word of God. What God teaches in his Word, but don't base my faithfulness to God on life circumstances. Heartland, in 2026, I encourage and implore all of us to let's hear God's revelation, Sister Body. Let's stay in His Word. And you look at God's Word. You look at the things that God would have us do. Don't get caught up in life circumstances because they're going to change. Sometimes you'll feel like you can't make it. Sometimes you'll know that you can. Sometimes you'll be somewhere in between. But God's revelation, Brother Theron, will never change. His word will never change. In Deuteronomy 33:25, the Bible says, "And as your days are, so shall your strength be." God says, I want you to hear my revelation, the word that I'm telling you. As your days are, so shall your strength be. In other words, I'm going to give you enough grace, enough mercy every day, Brother Booker, to make today. That's the revelation of God. Don't let your faith be contingent upon your circumstances. The way you view life matters. Sometimes when we move through life, we think that just because now we've decided to come back to the Lord and we've lived a long time away from the Lord, since I'm back to the Lord now, I'm going to be all right. But sometimes your sins still catch up with you. And that's even more important then, because it's going to seem like when I wasn't doing the right thing, I was doing better. But you're not. The way you view life really matters. Look at God's revelation. Whatever God says, Sister Elise, let's do that. In spite of what's going on in your life, do not let your life circumstances determine your faithfulness to God. It's all about the way you view life that matters. I hope this morning that I've said some things